Clarence Hall said this: Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Peter Marshall said this, and I love this: the stone was rolled away from the door, not to permit Christ to come out, but to enable the disciples to go in.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, different religions and your way, you find your way. There's many roads that lead to God. How many of you have ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be very, very prominent in our day and age that, you know, historical Christianity is passé. You know, we've moved on, that we have more knowledge and all of these things. And it's interesting to me that at the core of almost every one of those arguments is them taking away the resurrection. That Jesus was just another man. I don't know about you, but if you've done any study at all, and I said this last week, and it bears repeating, there is no empty Buddha grave. There is no empty grave in any other religion on the face of the earth. This is the most important miracle to celebrate. The most important miracle. That's the series that we've been talking about, that he had the most important mission. He had the most important message. And now, today, we're talking about the most important resurrection. Turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. We're going to look at the resurrection today and realize why is this the most important miracle, to really arm you with the truth of God's word and really logic of why this miracle of all miracles should be celebrated. In Matthew 27 and verse 45, this is where it seems that the world will kind of stay a lot of times. They just stay with Christ on the cross. But you can't just stop at the cross. You've got to go on to the empty tomb. Listen to what it says here in verse 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the first time that Jesus ever experienced separation from his Father. Verse 47 says, some of those who stood there, when they heard that, the man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it upon a reed, offering it to him to drink. The rest said, leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn from... The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Mm. That was 6 inches thick. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself also had become a disciple. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Verse 62. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it secure as you know." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now, I want you to get the picture of that first Easter morning. His disciples didn't fully comprehend what had happened. They saw their Savior, their miracle-working Savior, die on a cross between two thieves. The Roman instrument of crucifixion was brutal. In fact, it was gory. If you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, it is a rated R movie, not for any other reason, but because of how bloody it is. I want you to know that what Jesus suffered was real agony. It was not an illusion. It was not a fake by any stretch of the means. In fact, I said this earlier in this series. Jesus took 39 stripes upon his back, lashes, because it was said that 40 would kill a man. In fact, the historian Josephus actually recorded that there were three people he knew that were flogged at 40 lashes apiece. And only one of them survived the flogging. They didn't even get crucified. What Jesus went through for you and me was real. It was torturous. It was brutal. And it was debased. The enemy thought he had won. But as we read, the story is about to change. In Matthew chapter 28, "Now after the Sabbath was the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." See, I want to stop right here because we're reading all of the gospel accounts of the resurrection. Sometimes when you read one, you almost think that there's a contradiction. Today, I want to challenge you that this important, most important miracle was recorded in 3D. God, actually, it's 4D. He gave you four accounts of the same event. And when you put them together, you're looking in high definition of the most important miracle that ever has transpired in the universe. And what we see is that Mary Magdalene and Mary didn't know that the tomb had been sealed. They were doing what would normally be done, and that is to make sure that the body was prepared correctly according to Jewish law. What's interesting also is that Joseph of Arimathea was a believing Jew. He wanted to make sure that Jesus' body also was prepared and buried according to Jewish law. Therefore, he went to Pilate and had such influence, he asked for Jesus' body. And he gave his tomb to be lent. Isn't that good? So Joseph does that. Mary and Mary go there. And behold, there was a great earthquake. I want you to see what verse 2 is. We just sang about it. That earthquake is what opened the tomb along with the angel. Now watch what we see what happened. "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." I did some study, and this is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating. The angel... It said that the angel of the Lord, when it's described in the original language, when it's described in Greek, that the angel of the Lord was so big that he sat on this mammoth stone as like a footstool. And it was no problem for him to open the tomb. He was no weakling angel. In fact, when it's described that the angel actually came as one of God's archangels, that this is one of God's mighty, mighty war angels, if you will, that came down and opened the tomb. Notice what it said there. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. Have you ever looked out on a winter day over a whole snowy field and the sun is shining bright that it's so blinding? The language in here about that his countenance was like lightning is that same exact feeling that you get when you look at a field of snow in a bright sunny day. You can't see it. You have to squint your eyes. This is the angel that they're describing. And it said, the guards, remember there were guards there? They freaked out. They absolutely freaked out. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. What does that say? The power of God just hit the tomb. The power of God caused Roman soldiers, four of them, historically speaking, four of them hit the ground like dead men. And when they got up, I guarantee you they weren't going to hang around. They fled for their lives. Now, what's interesting here is they were risking their life because they were supposed to guard this tomb to make sure nobody messed with it. They literally risked their lives. And they ran. I'd run too if I was them. Verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee there, and you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. The other interesting thing is, and I think it's interesting, we just passed, I believe it was the International Month of Women, or last month, and there was International Day of Women. In this culture, women's word was not considered valid. Women were considered a lot like possessions. And yet God chooses women to tell the tale.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
God values women. He uses women to tell what happened. And they go to the disciples to tell what happened. Watch. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. They're really freaking out right now. They saw the angel. They saw the open tomb. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. We saw that when I just read in John. I just read that account in John that they hung on to him. And he said, I hadn't ascended to my Father yet. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and there they will see me. And while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. A little side note here. If Jesus' disciples truly stole his body and that this was all a fake, I find it interesting that his disciples were never arrested for grave robbery. In fact, the authorities never accused the disciples of grave robbery, ever. Even though they were trying to cover their tracks and say, oh, his disciples might come and steal the body, it's because these Roman soldiers came back and said, listen, what we saw was terrifying. We saw an earthquake and we saw an angel so big that he sat on top of the tomb. This is amazing. This is an amazing story. Most important miracle. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city, verse 11, reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders, consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll appease him and make you secure. See, they're covering their tracks here. So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly recorded among the Jews until this day. But again, how come the disciples were never tried or arrested for grave robbery? Never. And then we see, now let's go over to Luke's Gospel. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel. This is a most important miracle. I want us to look at all of these accounts and see them in living color. Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." Verse 11. The disciples said, basically, the women are just kind of crazy right now. These are idle tales. They weren't really believing. But it took Peter and John, right? But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself what had happened. We see this account one more time at another angle, another dimension, and we see that the gospel and the resurrection is vital to our faith. Amen. Jesus proved who he was. Amen. He proved he was. Now, go back to John chapter 11, and why am I taking you through all this? John chapter 11 and verse 25. John 11 verse 25. Right before the crucifixion and resurrection, we see that he raised Lazarus from the dead. And in verse 25, remember what he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he says this, "Do you believe this?" That's a question for all of us. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? That he died for your sins? That he was raised from the dead for you? I want to challenge us today that belief in our heart is bedrock to our faith. It is vital to our faith. It is the most important message. Now, Mark 16, as we finish up, seeing the most important message in living color. It is in high def for all of us to see. In Mark chapter 16, verse 1. "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him." Verse 2, "Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen." That is why many people and many churches are able and do offer a sunrise service, because of this verse right here, commemorating that. Verse 3, "And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll the stone away from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large, very large. And the entering of the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, and they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe her. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And when they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe him either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen. John 20, 29. We're going to finish up the most important miracle. John 20, 29. Jesus appeared to his disciples. He appeared to Thomas. Many people say things like, "Oh, you're just a doubting Thomas." Let me tell you something. If all of us had the faith of Thomas, we would have already won the world over. Because when Thomas got things straight, he went the furthest of any disciple. In fact, it is said that he went and won many, 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 many converts in India. And that's why many times some of our Indian brethren, they will have the last name Thomas. Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right about that? That's because Thomas went the furthest. But notice what he said to Thomas. "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." My friends, today that is you and me. The most important miracle is the resurrection. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let anyone tell you, "Oh, that's just, it was a figurative resurrection." No, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, in fact, there are 12 different accounts of him appearing in his post-resurrection form. He was not some ghost that you see on TV in some fictitious movie. His body had superhuman powers. He could walk through walls, and yet Thomas could touch his flesh and see him. This was a body that was resurrected. It is the most important miracle. In fact, he is the only one resurrected in the truest sense of the word. You say, "But Pastor, what about the people that he raised from the dead?" He resuscitated them only for them to die again. His resurrected body is a prototype, a shadow of things to come for you and me, when our bodies will be transformed and we will be like him. Can you imagine that? Your body, you're going to be able to walk through walls. I'm telling you, we're talking superhero power that is coming to a believer near you when he comes again. Jesus' resurrection is the most important miracle that any of us could base our faith on. Peter Marshall told us, and I earlier quoted it, that it was not about the stone being rolled away so Christ could come out. It was about the stone being rolled away so we could come in And we could be the John 20, 29. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise God. On this resurrection day, we celebrate resurrection. We celebrate that it is not some myth. It is not some legend. But there is actual proof. In fact, today you can go to Israel and there is an empty grave. There is an empty grave. And He is risen. He's not here. But He lives in us. He sent His Holy Spirit to regenerate us. Give us the new birth. That we would have access to God. And as Pastor Christine said, so that when God looks at you, whatever flaws, whatever sin you might have in your life, He looks at Jesus. Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. If you're watching online or you're here in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus on this Resurrection Sunday into your life. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 9 and verse 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins and He was raised from the dead for you, if you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. I want to tell you, friend, it is a way to start a new life on this Resurrection Day. Start your new life by believing. Because remember, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. And what He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you believe that, I want you just to pray a simple prayer with me. We're going to pray it together to just kind of help people feel comfortable that might not be comfortable praying out loud. But we're just going to pray a simple prayer together that just goes like this. Father God, I come to You. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by Him. I believe that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead, and I confess Him as my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that's you and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior today, message us on Facebook. If you're here today, we'd like to give you some tools, some little books that might help you in your walk with Christ. The resurrection of Christ is essential to every believer. And we believe that He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Say, He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.